podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So hello and welcome to another instalment in our series of interviews to shine a light on the New Zealand men's domestic circuit on the Top Order podcast. Today we're joined by the leading wicket taker in last season's Plunkett Shield, Otago captain and New Zealand A seamer, Jacob Duffy. Jacob, welcome to the Top Order podcast.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, first and foremost, thanks very much for coming on and to talk all thing Otago cricket with us. Let's kick off with your pre-season. Anyone following your social media would have noticed you lads have had a bit of a different pre-season. You've been climbing mountains, running and cycling around the south. Is that a normal pre-season? No yo-yo tests? You're just sort of taking in the sights of Wanaka and Queenstown? Or was it just everyone itching to get outside with the COVID lockdown?
Yeah, we tend to do a bit of that, mate. I guess we're a little bit disadvantaged, obviously, with the climate thing. So we actually don't get on grass wickets for the first, we're not on grass in Dunedin until tomorrow. So we sort of got to fill in the time a little bit differently. So you can only have so much of the indoor training facilities. So yeah, we like to get up in the mountains and on the beaches, on the bikes and things like that to get around the region, see a bit of the province and see who you actually represent when you're playing the Gherkin.
And was there anything particularly grueling that you're like, oh, sorry, the hamstring's a bit tight?
I think lads love getting stuck in, actually. It's like, it's always good. You know, it always seems daunting to start with. I think once it's that pre-season vibe, you know, everyone real fizzes up and it gets the boys going. There was one day we spent, like a duathlon type thing where we run over a big mountain and then biked up from down Brighton Beach, along the beach with our mountain bikes on the sand, which is bloody awful to be fair, but once we're done, the fish and chips taste good, so that's all that matters.
Beautiful. And I guess sort of into the squad now, how are you guys looking? It seemed like last time I kind of checked in on Otago, there was a few sort of tricky things. Dean Foxcroft was struggling to get in the country. Is that still the case?
Yeah, so Foxy's still in Tasca, unfortunately. That one's sort of out of our hands. We've got to, I guess, wait and see what happens with the old immigration and COVID and things like that. So yeah, it's a real shame. He was a massive part of our team last year and he's a bloody talented cricketer. Mm. And actually bloody young bloke, he's only 21, 22, so yeah, that's a massive loss for us, but we're just got to fill that in with our sort of young development guys coming through and a few bits and pieces over here and there to fill in what we're missing from him.
Are you hopeful that he might be able to get on a plane and join you at some stage this season?
Oh yeah, we're always hopeful, mate, but honestly, you're like, who knows, you know, like things change from week to week and month to month. It's literally just sit tight and hope. We're doing everything we can. I think I've tried to hire lawyers and all sorts of stuff to help our case, but I don't know if there's much that we can do until Cindy lets some crickets back in the country, I guess.
We also see that Max O'Dowd is down your way at the moment. The boys around this table have had a little bit to do with him. Is he training with your group at the moment?
Yeah, so he's part of our wider training squad. He's a bloody good bloke, actually. He's fit in nicely. He come away with us. We did a trip to Lincoln, and we played the Cantabs and a couple of warm-up games, and he had a bloody good knock of shot 80, might have gone 85 knot or something to win the game. And, yeah, he's looked awesome. So he's definitely riding that squad. Like I said, he's fit like a glove in the team. He's just like another southern bloke, so it's quite nice to have that Auckland swagger about him. So, yeah.
Don't tell him that. Okay, so you've got a few of the old hands in your team, like Neil Broome, yourself, Anuru Kitchen, Hamish Rutherford. Are there any younger guys or members of the squad that the New Zealand fans should, or Black Cap fans should be taking notice of?
There's a few, mate. We've got obviously, Michael Ray, Nathan Smith played a bit of age cricket last year. By the way, I'm only 26. I'm not an old hand up yet. Michael Rippon, he's not old, but he's not young, but he's sort of coming on. And I guess these guys are looking at pushing to that next level and then playing some bloody good cricket. And then obviously, outside of that, New Zealand. Outside of that, you got Nick Kelly. He's just been to the CPL recently. Mm. He was in really fine touch last year, so he's looking good. And yeah, I guess we got a new signing, Jared Mackay. He's a guy from Central District last year. He's only played one game for them, but he's from Nelson, and he hasn't played a lot of cricket, but he's a fresh talent. Put it that way. He's exciting. He's got all the attributes of a good fast bowler. And I think with some good coaching and some good S&C work, he's gonna be firing. So that's probably one to watch going forward.
And last year, you guys were beaten finalists in the Ford Trophy, semis in the Super Smash, and third in the Shield. And I guess every side wants to go in and win all the silverware on offer. But is there a specific focus for you guys, or is it to sort of really go into those three competitions, or is there one that you really want in the trophy cabinet?
Well, I guess we've come from a place where I guess we spent 2 years in a row where we got last at every comp. 3 and 4 years ago, which was, you know, a real low point for Otago cricket, to be honest. And I guess our white ball cricket's been the predominancy of our rising, I guess, where you could say we've excelled the most at those two formats. And last year we finally showed glimmers of being a competitive 4-day side. So I think, not our focus, but like it's a real, we want to continue the growth we're showing in the white ball cricket and actually finally bring home one of those trophies, because I think we've competed in, three white ball trophies now in the last 2 years, or 3 years. So I guess the 4-day cricket would be something that's our big work on, our big improvement, where I think we've got the most ground to make.
Awesome. We want to get a good sense of the full squad and the characters within it. And I guess all cricket teams are the same in a lot of ways. And, you know, there's always that guy that turns up with the shiny kit at the start of the year. There's always that bowler that bowls off 18 yards in the indoor school and then, you know, first came just gets carted everywhere and it sits up and he gets smacked over deep mid-wicket. We won't necessarily ask you to name him. Yeah. But, yeah, who is that bowler that bowls off 18 yards in the indoor school and pins you to that back net?
The thing is, when you sent me these questions beforehand, I actually had the same answer for a lot of them. It's Michael Ray, who comes in off the 18 yards, and wow, he's obviously he's our quickest bowler, but when it's off 18, it feels a hell of a lot quicker. So yeah, I'll say Michael Ray for that one.
And has he got the best post wicket celebration as well?
Definitely. Have you seen him in his headband? He's he gets the crowd going when there is one. So no, he's an awesome character, and he certainly brings a bit of energy.
All right, and does he get the trifecta here? Is he the bowler that's the most scary when you drop a catch off him?
Yeah, you can put him up there. Or Nathan Smith's an interesting one, actually. He just gives you the kind of like the parent thing, you know. He's not angry, he's just disappointed.
So, oh wow!
You really feel that from him.
Oh dear. So in terms of your batting group, who's looking $1 million in the nets for you guys at the moment?
Well, there's a few about. Dale Phillips is actually—he's a bloody good net batter. Actually, he's got all the shots. Sometimes doesn't know when not to use them. Nathan Smith's also that category. Looks $1 million at the moment. So, yeah, there's a few going around. Josh Finney and Neil Broome, the white ball specialists, are always good to watch too.
Nice. And who's the guy that you need to avoid for a few hours after they get out? Who really clears out the change room and makes everyone look scarce?
Oh, it's got to be the redhead Nick Kelly. As Sorry Ginger comes out after a pole and he's still fuming a wee bit later on. So, yeah.
And on the other side of the coin, who's the best person to be sitting next to while you're waiting to bat?
It's a bit of a tough one, actually. I actually put this one back on our physio, Brett Harrop. He's one of our better blokes on the team, actually, and he's a great bloke for taking your mind off things. So he loves his geography and he loves his quizzes and things like that. So he's always pepping you over with trivia and whatnot.
I like that, outside the box.
So
who owns the weight room down there? We were talking to Cole McConchie earlier, and he was talking about Cam Fletcher owning it there. Who owns it? Who owns it in Otago?
We don't quite have a Cam Fletcher in the ranks, but geez, those guns, eh? I'm thinking Neil Broome. Well, it depends what we're talking. Neil Broome on the bench. He's dominated that for years now, and he'll remind you of it too. And Michael Ray also loves getting in there and putting the big ten up.
Nice. Who's the one who keeps everybody together in a long day in the field, during the long day?
I'm probably going back to the Ranger again, just energy-wise. So Michael Ray, he just keeps bringing it. all day, every day. That's what you need from your big fastball.
Oh, superb. And I guess new playing conditions this year, no saliva on the ball, but you can use sweat now. So who's the guy with the sweatiest palms who's your designated ball shiner?
Oh, I'm sounding like a broken record again, but Michael Ray is one sweaty bloke.
Oh, he sounds superb.
He's going to be busy.
Yeah.
Mate, get him on your podcast, mate.
Yeah,
well, he'll be next, yeah. We've got down post-match or pre-match rituals. Has he got something out of the box for us there?
Oh, mate, I wouldn't know. It all goes on in his head. No, I can't think. There's not many crazy... Rudy's got this wee juggling ball act that he goes through every time. I'm not sure if it's for his own good or for just for a show, but it's probably the only pre-match ritual that I've noticed in the group.
And let's move to some of the other teams. What's the provincial team that you most enjoy beating?
Oh, mate, I love being the Cantabs, eh? They just get that... You know, you get that Cantab vibe off them where they just kind of look at you like you're their little brother, you know what I mean? That whole Otago Canterbury thing. So taking one off the big brother is always a good vibe.
Nice, that's good. That was kind of the hope here that we could start a few feuds. So, yeah, hopefully we're doing our job there. What's the favourite ground that you play an away game at?
Oh, I love going to the Mount, eh? That's always a good time. Just feels like a holiday when you're up there. The lads always get out on the surf and play a bit of beach volleyball on some downtime. So, and actually the ground's actually really nice too. So love going to the Mount.
And is that the best night out on the circuit as well? Or Danny Doolins has got a mention, which we can't endorse, but...
Danny Doolins is a domestic cricketer who's doing. That's where everyone seems to end up. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure we head down after the games. We'll get some unfiltered interviews in there. What's the best sledge you've heard at a domestic level? Any nasty chat out there or funny chat out there?
The thing is, I don't get a lot of sledges, but one that's really stuck with me, probably mostly because it's true, is that Kyle Jamieson. He played a couple of games for New Zealand last year, and then in the one-day final, he comes up to me and gives me the whole domestic battler chat.
Oh, and rough.
Yeah, and it sat with me. I think, you know, when it's true, it hurts, doesn't it? So that one sat with me a little bit.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Now we sort of move on to you. I feel like, you know, we just mentioned that you're the leading wicket taker in the Plunkett Shield. You've been in the New Zealand A squad for a little while now. I mean, you must be just hanging out for guys like Southee, Bolt, Wagner to retire.
Oh, you never think like that, mate. You just got to do your best to take the spot, I guess.
Do you feel like you're close, though?
Oh, you never know, mate. I've gone through a few like ups and downs during my career. I guess early on I had a pretty good start, and then there's a few downs, and then I got dropped from the Otago teams, and then I actually went through an action remodel. But right now I'm probably in the best spot I've ever been in, like come confidence with my bowling and my action and just my game planning. So I'm really just trying to control what I control, and if ever the opportunity comes, I'll hopefully be ready for it. But I'd love to have a go. I'd love to get in there and see what I got against some of the world's best talent, but it's not for me to decide. I can just do what I can do.
You're in a pretty unique position to be the captain of a, you know, first class side as a bowler. Do you have that voice in your head that sort of always thinking, "Well, I've got one more in me here, or I can do this. Just give me the rock." How do you balance that, like, innate fast bowler desire to bowl one more over, don't take the ball out of my hand, with trying to balance the best tactics for the team?
I struggle, mate. I do struggle. But you got to look over the coach every now and then. He's giving you the old, you know, get off sort of thing. But no, it is. Yeah, it's something I've struggled. I've actually the captaincy for the 4-day team. We've changed that up a little bit this year, partly because of that. So I'm taking over the white ball teams only this year, and then Hamish Rutherford's going to take over the 4-day cricket. I just found that it's bloody mentally draining, and then you've got about 20 overs on top of that, and deal with your mates who are bowlers who want more overs, and then you want overs, and then you're taking their overs off them, and it's just all confusing stuff, and it's something I prefer not to deal with. So Rudley's got that job this year, so I think he'll be better at it than I was. So that's probably for the group's best sake anyway.
Do you feel like as a bowler you've got a better sense or a more innate sense of when to make a bowling change, particularly in the shorter forms of the game, to be able to go, I think this is going to work, we need to change and take pace off the ball, I'm going to go with this guy. Do you find that easier as a bowler?
Well, I don't know. I've never been a batter, so I can't tell you. But,
that's a good point.
I think there's certainly an element of that, particularly just being there with the bowler. I know what's going through their head more often. That's the best advantage I have, I guess. So I know when the lads are battling and how to get through an over, I can be there and guide them. And I guess tactically, I use a lot of help. I use Rudd, I use Nick Kelly, I use keepers, you know, I use everyone I can to make the best decision possible. I guess it's never a one-man ship out there. But I guess there's some insight. We put a lot of time into our preparation, scouting and our matchups and things like that. So a lot of that is actually not all of it's pre-planned, particularly in 50-over cricket, but 20-over cricket, a lot of it's pre-planned, going on matchups and like what side of the ground suits a better bowler. So one guy might be a wide hole bowler, one guy might be better at straight hole, things like that. So there's a lot of thought goes into the games beforehand that helps make those decisions during.
And we touched upon it earlier on, but what are your specific goals and targets for the season from a personal perspective?
I actually haven't thought about that, mate. I'd love to play some Black Caps cricket, whether that comes or not. Like I said, it's out of my control, so I just got to perform the best I can. No, I don't like really putting numbers on things, to be honest, particularly wickets and things that are just out of your control. I'm a big control the controllables guy, so I guess just stick to my routines, and I'd love to bring home some silverware to Otago for the first time in a hell of a long time, so that's probably the main goal.
Awesome. And when are you guys first on the park in a competitive game?
We start, I think it's next Tuesday up in Auckland, our first fixture against, 4-day cricket against Auckland.
Well, perhaps we'll see you in Danny Doonan's on the weekend of that little trip. But look, that's some amazing insight into the camp for us in Otago. So, look, thank you very much for coming on the Top Order podcast. And I guess we'll say it to all the captains, but wishing everyone the very best for the rest of the season.
No worries, mate. Anytime. It's absolute pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to the Top Order podcast. Before you disappear from our feed, if you're a new listener, please do go and check out the back catalogue. We've spoken recently to New Zealand coach Gary Stead. We've got Graham Thorpe. We've got Shane Deets. We've got Barry Richards, Shane Bond, Colin Miller, all in the back catalogue. You can find the details, www.thetoporderpodcast.com. We're the Top Order Podcast on Instagram, although we're still really figuring that out. We're at Top Order Pod on Facebook and Twitter, so don't be shy to jump on. Give our tweets a share or a retweet, and we'll see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.